I invite you to please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel this morning. Our Gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 16. Jesus also said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I'm removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in which is another's, who will give you that which is of your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Friends, you may be seated. My goodness, sometimes it's hard to understand what Jesus is saying sometimes, isn't it? And this morning we have a couple of Bible readings that are difficult. They're just hard to understand. First, the one in 1 Timothy 2. And now this story about a dishonest manager. I mean, I think he's dishonest. Maybe he's not. Why does Jesus praise this guy in the story if he's not dishonest? I don't get it. So confusion like this doesn't originate with us. We're not the only ones who don't get it. As a matter of fact, in the 4th century, there was a Christian follower of Jesus who, when he heard this parable, turned around and left the faith. This guy later became known as Julian the Apostate. What a name, right? So Julian said to other Roman citizens, he said, "Don't befriend Christians because they proclaim that it's okay to be a liar and a thief." Great. So that's not my agenda this morning on preaching on this text, that you would be pushed away from the faith. So now, not understanding things is really a part of the Christian faith. Not getting it seems to be part of the journey. And the disciples that followed Jesus, you see them through the story, through the Gospels, sort of shrug their shoulders time and time again. They have no idea what's going on, and it only makes sense much later, after the resurrection. Much later. And parables have this effect of not understanding things until much later. They make us pause, and they make us wonder, and we often don't get it right away. It's like you have to receive it, live life for a while, and then suddenly, in the journey of life, meeting starts to poke up out of the ground. They're like seeds planted in the ground that take a while to germinate. And eventually, oh, That's what it means. So it takes time. And the whole point then is to begin to see things in a new way, the way that Jesus is trying to guide us. Now, today's parable is probably going to take me years and years, maybe decades, to really understand. Maybe you resonate. It's difficult because, honestly, it does sort of sound like what Julian the apostate says. It does sort of sound like Jesus says, go be a liar and a thief. You guys know that doesn't make sense. Jesus doesn't sound like that in other places, does he? And oftentimes he's criticizing the Pharisees for being false and for hoarding wealth to themselves that should be given to others or distributed. So what are we supposed to do with this parable? It's helpful when you come across something that's difficult to understand in the scriptures to look what comes before it and then look what comes after it. Sometimes that helps. And if you can remember even the broader story of the scriptures, things will weave together. Things will weave together. Everything does have its place, even if you don't understand it right away. So this morning, when we look at our parable, the parable or story right before it is the story of the prodigal son. And there's a story right after it about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, I see some pretty strong parallels between the parable of the prodigal son and this one we read this morning, the dishonest manager. And later on, I invite you at home, pick up your Bible and see, we're in Luke chapter 16, see if you can see some parallels between this, the dishonest manager story we read, and the one that comes after it, the one that comes after about the rich man and Lazarus. So here's what I notice about the prodigal son and the dishonest manager. Both stories have a noble master who demonstrates an extraordinary grace. It isn't explained. It just happens out of nowhere. And both stories have a shady character, somebody who just throws away and wastes a bunch of resources. And both have a moment where that wayward person has a turning moment, a moment of repentance where they realize they could go back. They could go back and turn back and really sort of bank on the mercy of either the father or the master. And then both of these stories speak about broken trust and extensions of broken trust. So seeing this, I want to take another look at our dishonest manager story. What we have here is a story of a real estate manager who's managing property for a guy who, well, he's pretty wealthy. He owns a lot of property. And the renters of this property pay the guy in kind. So that if they're growing olive oil, if that's what's coming off the land, and they pay in olive oil. If they are growing a bunch of wheat, they pay in wheat. And so whatever the land produces is whatever they pay in. This manager is accused of embezzling. Somehow, not everything's coming in. And what's remarkable is that when this manager is accused, he doesn't challenge it. He doesn't refute it. He's silent. And you parents out there know that when there is silence, there is also guilt. Something's happened. You can see it. You can sense it. And so this guy in his silence is sort of admitting guilt. And you see it in the story. He's immediately trying to figure out what to do next. And it's in that silence that this manager of the property begins to piece things together. And this is key to the understanding of the parable, perhaps. He's fired, but he's not punished. He's not required to pay anything back. And he's not jailed, and he's not even really scolded in the story. The servant, he's experienced two aspects of his master. He's experienced the side of the master who expects obedience and who expresses judgment on messing up, on being disobedient. But he's also experienced the side of the master that is unusual in his mercy. So this manager quickly thinks of a plan. He doesn't have much time. He's unable to do manual labor. The text says it's because he's not strong enough. But think of it also. If you just got fired for being dishonest, who's going to hire you? And he can't go out and beg, because in the society then, to be, I guess, an appropriate beggar, you had to have something like, maybe you were blind, or maybe you were missing a limb, or something like that that qualified you really to accept alms. So he can't do these things, but what he does is he weaves together a plan to risk everything on the quality of mercy that the master has shown. I mean, he's lived and he's worked with this guy for a lot of years. He knows how he works. He's seen and experienced the heart of this master. So with this in mind, the crooked manager enters into a world of grace. He works out a magnificent plan so that at the end, when he's fired, he'll have a place to go. And what he does is scandalous. Do not repeat what he does. He's fired, but in the moment, he still has the books. Another aspect of the master's generosity, perhaps. He still has the books. So he quickly calls in people who owe the master some money, or some rent, actually. And he tells them, hey, quickly, write down how much do you owe? Write down less. Write down less. He does this a couple of times. And the debtors simply trust, well, this is official. This is official. This guy is reflecting the heart of the landowner. The landowner must be generous. I mean, this is an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much. What a surprise. What generosity. When the master, the landowner, realizes what's going on, he's got two choices. One, he can go back to all the people who had their bills cut in half or lessened, and he can say, it was all a mistake. You've got to pay what was originally set. But if he does this, I mean, these people are already partying, right? If half of what you owed is given back to you, that's cause for celebration. And not just celebration because you have a lot more resources, but celebration because the guy you're renting from is just a good and awesome guy. I'm so happy to be attached to this generous, merciful person. So I don't know if he would do that. If you go up and you say, pay it back, they're going to stop saying, how generous of you, and they're going to start saying, you're so stingy. What is with this? So the other option that the guy has is what unfolds in the story. He's silent. He doesn't challenge it. He accepts the praise, accepts it as a reflection, perhaps, of maybe who he is. Generous. And he lets this rascal manager enjoy his moment of popularity, right? Let's that unfold. You see, in the story, the master, the landowner, really is generous and merciful. And this manager, this scoundrel, knew it. He knew it. And he lived into it. He trusted. That's how this guy was. So, with these things in mind, do I recommend that you go to work starting tomorrow and, you know, just see what you can get away with? Especially if your boss is, you know, kind of a nice person? No. I don't recommend that. But friends, in life, there will come times when you feel caught, when you feel stuck. Sometimes it's your own doing. Sometimes you've woven that web. Sometimes not. Sometimes you just feel stuck, you feel darkness, you feel despair, and you feel that weight of undesired change. And it's in those moments, it's in those moments of uncertainty when Jesus says, trust me, I'm with you. Trust God, not your money, not your possessions. Trust me. Jesus says, devote your attention to me. Trust me in the small things, in the large things. So friends in Christ, while I have no idea about some of these parables that Jesus says, I do proclaim to you this. God is merciful. He promises to always be merciful to you in Jesus. Your sins, your failures are forgiven. They are not held against you. God does not hold them against you, but instead he embraces you. And he welcomes you home just like the father in the prodigal son story. Yeah, there are going to be hard times, difficult decisions to make in your life. And it's precisely in hard times that Jesus is your companion. When you don't know what to do, remember Jesus in his mercy. Remember his teachings too, and make your decisions with as much cunning wisdom as possible. And be aware of God's mercy. So no, don't sneak around trying to get away with what you can get away with. Simply remember God's mercy. And trust that while your decisions may not be perfect, Jesus is with you and always merciful toward you.